Good day, listeners. We present to you our podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches. We discuss a variety of topics that are important to the church. Examples include sexual abuse, all types of addictions, religious abuse, and recovery. This platform provides counseling sessions, meaningful question and answer, and a counseling continuum. Our co-hosts include Ms. Lolita, Personnel Director, Mrs. Tennille, our Technical Director. We have an impressive array of program contributors. And I'm your host. My name is Prince, founder of Antioch Youth Center, 501(c)(3) program, licensed counselor, now retired. So join in this exciting podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches, and be a part of the healing process. Well, tonight we have a special guest. One of our own staff personnel is here. And again, Sister Stella Cavan is here. Again, been saved 60 plus years, a mom of eight, and just, what, six generations of Church of God now, I think. We're glad to have, let's give her a hand tonight for being here. Glad to have her here. Mm-hmm. And again, friends, I really enjoy interviewing our older saints, Sister Cavan, Brother Pope, and others. They've been around, you know, for a while. Experience is a blessing. Multitude of counsel, their safety. And I'm just a firm believer in listening to the old saints, as far as experience and getting what they've learned. Been around, you know, since the 30s, et cetera. So that what they're saying can be a benefit to us. We can pass that on to our young people. So, Sister Cavan, glad you're here tonight. So happy to have you here. And we've had several questions. And again, let me say, if you want to join the discussion tonight, you can. You can chime in 1-866-538-3664. 1-866-538-3664. Our counseling telephone line for Wounded Hearts is 478-283-9093. Our email for Wounded Hearts, you can email us at reeechone@aol.com. Again, for Wounded Hearts email, email us, please, if you would, at reeechone@aol.com. We've got many questions in, friends, from younger listeners about their concerns and questions about the church, and we're looking out to try to reach them. So we're trying to bridge the gap to reach those young folks. To Kevin, one question we got in that it says, the question was, what is actual truth versus what I was told? The question is, what is actual truth versus what I was told? How would you answer that?
Well, it would depend on what that person was told. I mean, I can't compare something with something that I don't know what I'm comparing. Truth is that we are sinners. We need salvation. Christ died on the cross for us that we might have it. He died so that he would take away our sins. And then with his blood, he's able to cleanse us of all unrighteousness through his Spirit. And we can live a holy life. In other words, we can live free from sin. And that is being attacked right now. You know, people keep saying, we're not perfect, we're not that. But he said for us to be perfect as he is, who did no sin, and no guile was found in his mouth. And so when we sin because we want to. If he can make it possible for us that we don't have to sin. That there's no temptation that has taken us that he can't, there isn't a way of escape. So we don't have to sin. We do it because we go over what the Holy Spirit has given, told us not to do. You can feel it. I shouldn't say this. And you can't say, I know I shouldn't say this, but I'm saying it anyway. Okay. See, you're going beyond what you should. But when God tells you to shut up, then hush your mouth. So that is the whole crux of the problem. If anything else people are telling you, there may be some things that come along, dress code and things like that. But if you really get an experience with God, those things do not matter. Now, if it's extreme where, you know, you got to all wear the same jet thing and things like that, that is not biblical. But for the most part, the things that we can't do, maybe, you know, some may feel like you can't participate in sports and all that. Well, all that is worth heaven. There's nothing, no price that, you know, that you should worry about. You have to pay because you really, in the long run, you may have 7 or 8 years where you can't do this or you can't watch TV or you can't, those different things that people want to do anyway. But you have an eternity with God where you'll never have to worry about any of those things.
So important. And you mentioned, well, let me say this. So, Kevin, many times people, I think we want to blame others for our shortcomings or sins. Well, have you seen that in life? People want to blame others for what's happened to them, what they're doing?
Oh, absolutely, because you think that takes the, but you know what's the basis of it? You want to do that because you're proud. If you don't have pride, it doesn't bother you to just say, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. We used to have in our congregation, our pastor stressed the fact that if we needed to do something, to get up and do it. Don't hold it. Get up and do it. And so some nights we would have these services where different ones would get up and say, you know, I want to apologize to so-and-so because of this and that. And one brother got up one Sunday morning, he came to church and he said, you know what, I spoke to my wife in a way I shouldn't have. And before we start church, I want to clear this up. So, I mean, if you live with that kind of an attitude, then it's very easy not to be looking at anyone else except yourself.
And that's an attitude, isn't it? That is an attitude that comes from within, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the humility that God puts in us, that we're able to realize that we're nothing and without him, we can do nothing. And I'm not saying that he ranted on her, railed on her or anything. Right, I'm just saying that just little things that you can say or do that can cause a person to be hurt. And you know it, and just correct it. Just get up, and that's it. I had to do it. There were many times, different times. I'll say sure, not many, yeah, but times too. I had to me get too. Up and say, Saints, I want you to forgive me. I was pretty rough on my mother. I said, it looks like I'm trying to be her mother, and she's my child. And I said, I want the Saints to forgive me for that. And my son, the same way. He's grown now. I can't just talk to him any kind of way and get on him like that and it's okay. So I got up at church and asked God to ask the people to forgive me. And when God showed me what I was doing and, you know, I was able to do much better, you know, where she was concerned, not be her boss, but be her daughter. Anyway.
How important is humility? Does that play a key role in forgiveness or in reconciliation?
That's everything. Because when you're humble, if you have humility and meekness, you're not looking at the other person. Because as soon as somebody brings something to you, you start feeling bad about yourself. I probably shouldn't have said that. I probably shouldn't have gone there. It just comes to you, and you feel bad about it. And when you feel bad about feeling that God is not pleased with what has happened, then you want to get yourself right with him because he's the best friend you can ever have. If you lose out with God, life is really worthless. It's better not to even live than not to be in touch with God.
Any questions from our director?
Not at the moment, no, sir.
We had another influence. This person says there is no unity even today. That was what they said. What's your take on that?
You can't say that because you don't know everyone, and unity is of the spirit. Amen. So the fact that you don't see it, there may be you may not know ministers that are unified and all that, but you don't know everybody in this world. As he told, I think it was Elijah, whoever it is, He said, 7,000. Yes, 7,000. Heaven bowed. You have no idea. None whatsoever. No. That's good. You just say right now I don't see it. So, but don't say there is nothing. But that's not even true. God's not coming back for a church where there is no unity, and He's not coming back for a church that doesn't exist. So no,
it's true.
All of that's untrue.
And you know, please go ahead.
If they would spend all that time reading the Bible and praying, I'm not trying to be unkind.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised what you can learn for yourself.
Oh, God.
Those questions that you're after and looking at the church and looking at the people are not right and all that is a waste of your time.
So
because you're not in the position to pray for them, to help them. And all you do is the devil just keeps feeding you, and you get bitter, and you look around, and Sister So-and-so did this, and she failed, and all that. Go all through the Bible. There's been failures all through the Bible. There's always going to be people that fail. That has nothing to do with you. That should make you press harder so you get saved, and you don't fail, and people can come back years later and see that you're still standing. What their salvation does not depend on yours. Every one of us is an individual.
Right.
Yes, we're unified, but it's everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And friends, so I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say we're unified. Here we are. What difference do we have? When we get together, what difference do we have?
That's true.
So tell me, here's three people that are unified. And he said we're two or three are gathered, so we can get
a rest. That's right. Amen to that.
You're seeing it in action.
That's a 300 hit there. That's a 300 hit there. That's a strike in the bowling. That's a strike there. Friends, if you wish to call in, you can or chime in. Number is 1-866-538-3664. We're about half over now, so get your calls in as soon as you can. Any questions for our guest? Scott, you made a major point where you said, if I dwell on these things, I'm kind of wasting my time. If I dwell on negative things, does that have an effect on my spiritual life?
Absolutely. Not even on the spiritual life, even if you're not spiritual. If you dwell on that kind of stuff all the time, you're not going to be seeking God like you should. You can't do what you're supposed to do when those things are on your mind. And you're trying to figure them out. How did so-and-so fail like that? And what happened? And don't worry about that. You can make it. You look around. I don't care who you are. You can look around at some people that made heaven their home.
Amen.
So if one made it, then that means that I can make it too.
Amen. And the verse, I remember when Peter said, Lord, what shall this man do?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, he was involved with what John was doing.
Right.
And of course, to Kevin, you know, years ago I was counseling a young lady, and she had a boyfriend who went out on her. She was not saved. And she got real, real bitter. And she would dwell on that, talk about it. And when he went out on her, that really had an effect. But she dwelt on it so much that she ended up with cancer.
Mm.
Her body was so broken down. She had radical surgery, lost all her hair. So that worry and that bitterness can have an effect on us and others. Is that true?
Absolutely. And it will. And then when you're around that person, you say, uh-oh. You want to be careful what you say because you don't want to trigger it. But when you do, then here we go. And you told me this story, you know, quite a while ago. I don't want to say it to you, but I kind of know what you want to say. And it's not, what can I offer except Christ? That's all I can offer. I can't offer anything else.
Amen.
And really, we're living in a time when we just need more positive thinking of ourselves, even. I mean, you know, to get closer to God ourselves and to love our salvation more and to shine at all that we can. We don't have time to dwell on the fact. We will mention it. I'm not going to say I never mentioned
sure,
it.
Sure, sorry, sure, sure.
I hate to see it in the home, and I hate to see it. in church. I hate to see it in the world, but it's there. But in the meantime, that doesn't mean we can't have an enjoyable time. I'm here enjoying you all today, okay?
And we're enjoying you too. We really are.
We were off to dinner or something, we could sit and have a wonderful conversation.
Yes.
And we, all of us love God, and all of us are, you know, doing what we can to win our loved ones to God and all that. So why should we spend a whole lot of time about being bitter and looking at them? And it doesn't make sense. It's a waste of time. God made a beautiful earth. I was thinking about Hawaii. They said Hawaii is just heavenly. And look at that little time that burned up all of those houses and all those people and all that. And that's the way life is. When fire comes and burns up, you know, in our lives, that things that we don't like or whatever.
Amen.
We have nothing left. So we got to make sure we have something there when the fire comes to burn us and ruin our lives and all. God can give us a better life.
Amen. Any comments from our listeners?
Just Larry Fluellen said, amen, Sister Kevin.
Another young person, Church of God, says, we've seen the ones we considered pillars crumble due to hypocrisy and corruption, so they don't want to be a part of that organization. They lied to us, not being the example we thought they were. Someone gave us that a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I've heard that, People will talk about, well, this one backslid, that one backslid, you know, and they rehearse that. But you're saying what? That to dwell on that is not good, is it?
No, I mean, so you finished. You said that they all crumbled, and so you don't want to be a part of it. A part of what, though? You don't want to be a part of God, or you don't want to be a part of them? Or what are you saying? They are members of the church, but they are not the church altogether. There's some saints somewhere, and if you really want to be saved, ask God to show you where the real saints are. May not be but two or three in that house, but you go there and get what you need in your soul. That's, you're not going to be able to stand in front of God and tell him, I saw everything crumble, and so I didn't want to be a part of it, and so, you know, it doesn't seem fair for you to send me to hell because I didn't have a chance. No, he's not going to listen to that. He's going to say, remember that day, so-and-so-and-so? Remember so-and-so called you? Remember that? Uh-uh. So, I mean, you're just risking your soul, that's all. You're not hurting those people that fell. Some of them may get right and come back. So,
and that's
you're
true.
Not hurting anyone but yourself. And that's all the devil wants, is to take you out of here. He doesn't care.
He
doesn't like you.
It's the truth.
He said he came to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he's doing.
That's the truth.
Any comments from our director?
No, not at the moment.
Sister Kevin, again, you mentioned, if I'm sincerely serving God, these things should not stop me or block me from serving God, should they?
No. My commitment is unto him. If I remember myself, I may have said this before, but I remember I was standing next to the stove and the devil was pressing my mind, you know, give up. I don't remember what I was going through or anything. And I just stomped my foot. I said, I'm not giving up. That's out of it. That's not even a question for us. I don't know what words I told him, but he left me alone then because I made up my mind. No, I'm not going anywhere. Where shall I go? Peter said that way back in Bible times.
Yes.
He told you that. So where are you going to go? Who's going to help you? Show me a friend that can save you. Show me a friend that has a heaven.
No.
Show me a friend that can give you a job and really take care of you in every way. Show me someone show me someone that go inside of me and change me and make me do different from what I have done. Show me someone like that, please.
Wow.
Not anything. They need the same thing I need. And so
wonderful.
I want to give them what I have. And
that is
a wonderful Savior. As song says, a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my love. He taketh my sins away. He's wonderful.
Any comments from our listeners?
We do. We have a comment from Elaine White. She said, the Bible prophesied of a great falling away. So we should be, I think she meant to say, so we should not be surprised when we see people fall out. We will give an account for ourselves before God.
I agree wholeheartedly. I agree. I say, one, salvation is so beautiful. And you see how that's one of my burdens now, how the devil is so hot after families and all
that. Oh, yes.
Because it's causing division and strife and all that. You won't make that all his own guilt. His only goal is to that you don't make heaven. And that's all by whatever means. He doesn't care whether you're offended or whether you see somebody you want more than you want God. Mm-hmm. None of that matters. Just don't make heaven. And we have to decide we are going to make it. As Paul said, I'm persuaded. Neither death nor life nor principality, nothing will separate me from the love of God.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, I got a lot of questions here. We got to have a side two to this. But my pressing question is, how does one get that type of experience where you just go forward no matter what? If they backslide, church splits, how does one come to that point where they keep on going in God?
Sanctification. And I've been thinking, I mean, that's one thing that with the marriages, with marriage, I did not marry a saved companion, so I don't want to make people think I did. But that wasn't the best thing for me, though. God worked it out that I was able to go through and have a very happy life, despite the fact that he wasn't. But this is the thing that you have to realize. You have to love God supremely. And the only way you can love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you've got to get rid of self. I cannot be Stella anymore. I have to be God's workmanship. And when I do that, and even in marriage, so couples should not get married until they're really saved and sanctified. And that brings on the humility, and that brings on giving up self and looking to the other. And it brings a beautiful relationship. And that's the only relationship God can have. I can't come to God and he said, Stella, don't do so-and-so. And I said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And that's the kind of attitude we can have in marriage. And my husband said, I don't want them bothering my tools. I said, you know what? I'm not going along with that. So you can't do that. I said, children, your dad does not want you to play with his tool. Do not go with him. Don't touch him. Unless he's here, don't do it. That's just a simple thing that I'm saying. I have to go along with him and work with him. And the only way I can really, main way I can do it, I've got to be sanctified. Otherwise, every now and then, off time, we might have something will rise up every now and then.
Friends, our time is gone again tonight. We got to have a side two of this. I've got questions here, comments about 12 that I have not covered yet.
Wow.
So I pray that she would come back next week. And friends, get your questions in early. And I talked to some young folks Sunday, and they're watching the broadcast when it's not live. And that's fine, too. But if you chime in during the week, still bring those questions in. You can email me at reeeechonewell.com. And Sister Kevin can field those questions for us as our platform guest here. So we want to say thank you, Sister Kevin, tonight. Yes. We'll see you next week. If you will grace us with your prayer.
I'd like to close with saying salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found.
Mr. Kevin, now, before we go, I just want to go a little longer tonight. Talk to someone tonight who's been wounded, and maybe they've left the church, and maybe they've backslid. What can you tell them tonight? Because they're listening. There's a guy, I won't mention where they are, but they're listening. What, they've been wounded, left the church. What can you say to them?
Seek God. Find him. He said, when you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find him. Go back, get on your knees, say, Lord, I know all these things happen, but I want to be your child. I want you to help me. I don't want to live like this. I want to make heaven. Just whatever words, whatever it is, I can't just tell you what to say, but whatever comes to your mind, and spend time with it. Some days, even fast, trying to find God. And when you do, then he'll tell you where to go and what to do. And then you get sanctified so that if somebody comes along again and treats you like that, you can take it just like Christ did. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Salvation is real. You hear me? It's real. It works.
Amen.
Please don't put it down under like that. Like it doesn't exist. It's real.
Amen.
I love it. I appreciate it.
She's talking to someone tonight. I know she is. And you're out there. You heard what she said tonight. Take time to pray until the answer comes. And you'll be glad you did. We're reaching out to you because we love you.
Absolutely.
So come again next week, same time, and we'll continue with this discussion. To the captain, thank you. To our director, thank you also, too, and to our listeners. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.